Welcome to Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog, shareyourstories.online. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Julie Cole, who is a powerhouse entrepreneur. She is the co-founder of Mabel's Labels, and she calls herself a recovering lawyer. Julie joins us today from Burlington.
Hi,
welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You know what? I know that we are all having to recalibrate our personal GPS right now. You know, everybody's looking for a little inspiration. And so I thought what we would do is kind of go way off the dial today in our conversation and just talk about your three words of advice.
Okay.
Because you know what? You're a mom of six. You're a busy entrepreneur. We're the co-founder of the company that you're now still working in. And I know you sort of sold the company as well. So maybe you can, you know, share a little bit about that.
Sure.
But your first word is risk. And dear God, we are all experiencing risk right now. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, you're right. This is a crazy time, obviously. And I actually find that a lot of women right now are taking risks. I mean, they're leaving either because of COVID, they've either been forced to leave the traditional workforce, they've had to pivot for family things, kids are at home, or they've had that side hustle or that idea. And now they're like, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to take a risk. And I do think, you know, people often say, what's the trick to being an entrepreneur? And I do think risk is it. You have to have a little bit of an appetite for risk. You can't be entirely risk adverse or you will drive yourself crazy. So I think, you know, if anyone out there is thinking about, hey, do I want to do something with my side hustle? Do I want to start one? This might be the time to just take those risks.
You know, your great idea started in the basement of, you know, one of your homes, and you kind of said, okay, here was a need. You had young children, you were, you know, viewing Sharpies on your kids' labels so they wouldn't lose their clothes. And next thing you know, you've got this like powerhouse engine of being able to ship your product worldwide and globally. So tell us a little bit about how you went from sort of community local to global distribution.
Right. Well, like you said, we were making labels in the basement, and we started for a couple of reasons. Mabel's Labels happened for a couple of reasons. One was that we did, as you said, noticed a product missing from the market. So for anybody viewing today, like, you know, if you basically go through your day and what annoys you and then fix it, like find it, or what's a product that you like, but you can make prettier or better, you know, like, so basically that was what we did. We went through our day and we were like, this is kind of crummy, masking tape and permanent marker. That's not even permanent. We can do better than that. So that was one reason. And then the second reason to start was that, you know, for me at that point, like you say, I'm a recovered lawyer. My eldest child was diagnosed with autism and I didn't want to be in the traditional workforce anymore. So that's when I said to my co-founders, okay, now's maybe the time, because I wanted to pivot. I wanted to leave the traditional workforce, but I still wanted to do something that, you know, I could be passionate about just professionally. And, you know, and like that, I'm kind of probably that one who would be a better mother if I had that going on as well. Like, you got to know yourself, be self-aware and what makes you thrive. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how we started. And, we literally started by telling our friends that we opened a website and to please buy our labels. And that was before social media, right? This is 17, 18 years ago. So was very word of mouth. And luckily it was a product once mom saw it at daycare or at the park or at the playgroup, they'd be like, what the heck is that amazing thing? And then moms would say what it is. So I think too, for us, a big risk at the time was bringing a product to market that literally didn't exist, because then you kind of have to educate your market that they need the product. So that was a risk. Luckily, that seemed like it wasn't such a daunting task. Like, it kind of, when people saw the labels, it made sense to them. So that was a good thing. The other thing too is at that time, I mean, we're a web-based business, we're e-commerce. So 18 years ago, people weren't necessarily still yet super comfortable with putting their Visa numbers into the computer. Right at that time. Yeah. So it was a little bit risky. Of course, it paid off, because what it allowed us to do is not kind of being retail or in store or bricks and mortar. Being on a website meant that we could have customers from all over the world. We could have customers all over the US. We could have moms talking about us in England. We could have, and so we did. We have sold labels to people in over 100 countries.
Isn't that fantastic? So you were, had to be, now your second word is actually being uncomfortable. So I bet that, you know, with the risk comes that feeling of unease when you're ready to sort of scale your business to the next level, because you're not only combining risk, but you're taking, you're outside your comfort zone and you're thinking, where is this going to go and what's going to happen? So how do you deal with being uncomfortable? I mean, we're all uncomfortable right now.
For sure.
The fact that you have a global business is awesome and it's online. So how do you get over that feeling of being uncomfortable?
I think it just takes practice. And honestly, like you have to, I always say you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because the moment you are comfortable, you've stopped learning. You're not taking chances. You're not taking risks. It's like I always say, if you're the smartest person in the room, find a new room. You've got to be challenging yourself always, right?
Right.
So, and I think for us, like it was just one of those things that we realized we never get the opportunity or the pleasure of being comfortable. I think about, you know, when your company is growing kind of the speed that ours did, like we would get to a point and be like, okay, now we know how to run this company. Now we're, and then next thing you know, we'd have a growth spurt and be like, oh, okay, now we have to hire people. I don't know what, I don't know HR. Does anyone here know HR? No, we better learn something about HR, get a consultant in or something. So as soon as we felt like we had a handle on how to manage the company, something would happen and it would change. And it would change. But that honestly was a bit of the sport of it too, because it would have gotten boring and we would have stagnated and we would. So we do always want to keep growing. And I think that's part of being uncomfortable.
Okay. So lots of folks are in entrepreneurial, you know, they're looking at their wish list and they're saying, okay, I've got a business. I've grown it to where that I want to grow it. And now maybe I want to move on to the next chapter in my life. So maybe I'll sell my company.
Right.
And now you did that successfully. So tell us maybe a little bit of the behind the scenes as to not only why you sold, but how did that, that's another uncomfortable thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're so used to things being a certain way and having a certain role in your company and that sort of thing. But we had gotten to the point, we knew we wanted to do something big. We knew we had to take a bold move. We were about 13, 14 years old. And whether it was like, whether we were getting a cash injection or taking on investors or hiring an outside CEO, because the co-founders, we were still operating as co-CEOs and it was getting a bit cumbersome. Like we did really well, but you can only have four people running a company for so long. You need, it's a lot of, you know, four-headed horse, we kind of called ourselves, right? So we knew we had to do a change, but we were trying to figure out what that was. And then literally out of the blue, we get a call from Avery. We had calls from other companies before and we weren't in a position to wanting to sell. Right. But at this point, we're like, well, we'll have the conversation. It doesn't hurt to have the conversation. And the conversation went well. And eventually we did sell. And two of us stayed on with the company. I'm the last one. Our general manager just left. I'm the last one standing.
You're the last man standing.
I'm the last man standing. But we ended up agreeing to sell for a couple of reasons. We're bought by Avery, which is an American company, but they're owned by CCL, which is a Canadian company. So we liked that. We loved that they bought Mabel's Labels because of our brand. They bought Mabel's Labels because of our community. I mean, we have over 200,000 Facebook fans. Like we have built a strong community. We know our customer and we, you know, provide great content. This stuff's really important to us and we're fiercely protective of our brand. And they honored that. They knew a kiss of death would be coming in and just turning it into Avery. That's not what they wanted. They wanted Mabel's Labels for all it had. So that was another, you know, tick.
Great synergy, and right?
And the other thing that's really important is you got to get the right price. When you build a company, like when you create it, you build it, you scale it, and then you sell it, you better darn tootin' get what you put into it. So you're not giving your company away. So you also have to get the right price. So we got all those three things and so we thought maybe this is the time, and it was great timing. It was perfect timing for us. And everybody celebrated and it was a good news story.
Well, you know, what's really amazing is your third word of advice is net worth. So that segues beautifully into, tell us why is net worth so important?
Well, because it goes to an expression that I often say, and this is when I talk about community, and this is when I talk about knowing your market, and this is what providing content and providing listening to customers, all that customer service stuff, because I always say your network is your net worth. And I believe business is highly personal. Yes. I believe you must have a personal brand to go along with your professional brand, because that visibility creates trust, creates loyalty, and makes you money in the end. Plus, it's just fun to do. It's fun to be connected to your customers. I do believe, highly believe, business is personal. So I do think, you know, a piece of advice would be, if you're building a business, be visible, be a personal brand, let people know you, let them in. You know, when I blog, I don't post pictures of stock photography. They're my kids. Mabel's Labels is about letting people in. And that's part of the secret sauce. So, you know, if you're comfortable with doing that, I would advise that you do it. You let people in, because they don't want to buy from nameless, faceless brands. They want to buy from people who are just like them. And we know how much influencer marketing, how important that is. And, you know, there's a distrust of paid advertising now. So PR is a good thing. Personal brand's a good thing. Influencers, good thing. Like, all this stuff is important. So just remember, you know, to try and put yourself out there, be more visible. Your network, you women, we are networkers. We are connectors. This is what we do. So you know what? If it's not really your thing and you're uncomfortable a little bit, maybe challenge yourself. Say, you know what? I hate walking in networking events alone, but say, I'm going to do it once a month, right? Or I'm going to reach out and make my neighbor come with me. But put yourself, again, be uncomfortable for a little bit, because then make it part of your goals, you know?
Well, you know what, Julie, I really want to thank you for the sharing with us these sort of really wonderful practical ways that we can recalibrate our personal GPS, because I know our listening and viewing audience, this entire show is really all about introducing the person behind the logo. And Mabel's Labels is really a company that lets people in. And as you say, you've built the community not only because of a strong brand and the product and service that you provide, but because you're actually making wonderful connections with your consumer. So I really want to thank you for spending some time with us today. And to our viewing and listening audience, I hope you enjoyed another introduction to the person behind the logo in Keeping It Real. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.